by the name of the kid, Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports edutainment.
Yeah.
It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
This is Tim and Sid, Monday, August 10th. Oh, my God. What a Monday. Cut the music, Dylan. Do me a favor and cut the music.
Man.
It is a Monday for the Save by the Bell. Ooh. I repeat, it is a Monday for the Save by the Bell. I'm Tim McAlfee, Sid Sixero. The basement banter continues. Let's take care of the housekeeping, get it out in front here so we can get to the rest of the show. TV side of things, we are currently live on the Sportsnet mains.
Got it.
So excited about this show. We're on Sportsnet 360 at 6 p.m. Eastern. Those of you watching us on Sportsnet locally, you will head to the NHL Network's coverage from NHL Studios in New Jersey, Phase 2. NHL draft lottery for all the teams that just got bounced in the qualifying round.
Saved by the Bell woos, please, Tim, for phase two of the NHL draft lottery. Who's going to be team E? We're going to find out in about an hour's time. So at 6 Eastern at that moment, Tim and I will still be doing our thing on Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and online. Programming note, Tim and Sid will also have the live Phase 2 draft lottery announcement on 360 and here on the radio side, followed by our reaction. So if you want a live in-the-moment take of either the Oilers, Pens, Leafs, or Jets winning this thing, getting Alexi Lafreniere, Tim and I will be available for you, the consuming public. We have also got Raptors, Bucks, live here on the radio side from Orlando. Won't be seeing the full teams, it sounds like. 6:30 p.m. Eastern is when that begins. You can watch that game also on the Sportsnet mains and Sportsnet 1. So in summary, Tim and I are on for 90 minutes. We have a lot going on right now. This is one of the busier Mondays are always busy here on Tim and Sid. I think those of you who listen to us and watch us know this. Today feels a little special, though, doesn't it, Timmy? A little special.
Listen, they're canceling college football as we speak, and we might not get to it. The multimedia conglomerate cesspool of goodness, greatness, and people stealing money is going to be canceled for this year, and we might not get to it. The Raptors and the Bucks.
Spare a thought for the universities. Spare a thought for the universities. They're going to really struggle financially.
Some of them might because they bank on that money, which is crazy. Raptors and Bucks, I don't know what it means, but we're going to talk a hell of a lot about the Raptors in the next couple of weeks. Devin Booker, I'm sorry. You're looking good. Marcus Stroman, you might have to wait. Even Salen Field. Hey, look at all the pitchers coming from Buffalo.
Hey, Tim,
Blue Jay pitchers.
Salen Field tomorrow in Buffalo, did you hear? I just got 300 pictures today on my timeline. They're playing in
there
Buffalo tomorrow. Breaking news. They're playing in Buffalo. Maybe Blue
Breaking
Jay
knows
behind home plate. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe Tim and I. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but no time for that.
How long will they play there? I don't know.
Who knows?
But they're going there. We understand it. We will see it. The Jays will play there. And before we go on where a lot of people know we're going to end up on this show,
yeah,
I need to say two things. One, and I want to say this up front. It's amazing to me how many people, media, social media, bloggers, analysts, fans, all points in between, are breaking down their team's exit like it's any other year. This is not in any way, shape, or form any other year. Look within, see how tough it's been to make rash reactions, rash decisions, or rip the bleep out of a player, singular, playing away from his family, in a bubble, during a global pandemic is something that I find tough to take. So let me say it up front. This year is like no other. I want to thank every player that went out there for a little bit of a paycheck. Our entertainment, trying to get our mind off of all the ish that is going on in the world right now. Thank you for giving us a little bit of entertainment, going hard While many of the people who are ripping you for going out after an opening round, qualifying series, whatever the bleep you want to call it, are still worrying when they go to the grocery store. So to all those players that have left the bubble already and feel like they're being picked on, we will just say thank you.
Terrific.
The other thing I need to say, do you notice how many people are just treating this like it's just any other year?
That's the first take along those lines I've heard or read. So I applaud you for that, because I've lost sight of it. I got so wrapped up in what happened to the Oilers. I got so wrapped up in the Leafs. I'm getting wrapped up in Alexi Lafreniere as we speak.
I get it.
How this is one of the most ridiculous moments in National Hockey League history to have a first overall pick decided in this way. I lost sight of the point you made, and I think it's a valid point. And I haven't heard a lot of people make it, so I applaud you for it. And that's not why you did it. I know. That's not why you did it. But it's a great point. Terrific point. Just now, can we rip on guys or no?
The other thing I wanted to say was Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, and probably literal for Winnipeg, given what has happened over the last week, Sid Sixero. When the day is long.
Oh my God, he's singing.
And the night is yours alone.
He's on key.
Hold on. Sorry. When you're sure you've had enough of this life, well, hang on. Don't let yourself go, 'cause everybody cries.
Everybody cries.
And everybody hurts sometimes, Sid. That's what I want to get to. Everybody hurts sometimes.
The dulcet tones. The dulcet tones.
I do know it's literal for Winnipeg, because everyone on their team was hurt at one time.
Everyone was hurt
or another this year. Where would you like to begin besides my terrible rendition of REM?
Either you were hurting on Winnipeg or not scoring. You were hurting in a different way.
Right?
Kyle Connor, Blake Wheeler. Look, the Leafs are going to fade in the ether here. I know some people don't believe that can ever really happen, because they're not ever happy with the amount of coverage one team gets over another. But I think discussing where the Leafs are at is kind of the place I would like to begin. Unless there's a stronger place you would like to begin, the only one I will not accept is, hey, did you hear the Jays are in Buffalo? Because I've kind of seen that enough today.
Hey, did you? Never mind.
Don't do that. Don't,
never mind.
Yes, they tarped off some seats. I saw it. They tarped off some seats. God bless them.
In case you missed it, the Toronto Maple Leafs and Columbus Blue Jackets went 5 games. The blue sport coats of Columbus persevered, and they won in 5. They ended up taking the series after 2 of the craziest games you will ever see in your life, back to back. Your reaction Sunday night to what transpired was what, Sid Sixero?
Well, first, Christina's reaction to your singing, Tim. I am Shazamming McAuliffe singing right now at Tim and Sid, is what she tweeted in. So first off, my reaction to you singing and the people's reaction to you singing is real. And it cut to the core, and it was honest. But I think if I could piggyback off what you were singing. Sorry, please react. I jumped you.
I don't think she knows the song that I was singing. That's why she's Shazamming it.
Because it was great. No, you're not reading that right. She liked the song and the rendition. She wouldn't Shazam a bad... Who Shazams a bad song? Who Shazams a bad rendition?
Steve writes in after Christina and just says, can Sid just lose it, please? So, are you in...
I've been doing that for 5 years on air there, bud.
To answer Steve, are you in that mood? Because it doesn't seem to me, and I've known you for 20 years, that you are in that mood. Where are you right now? Beside your basement.
I'm physically in my basement. I am not surprised. Like, prior to the show, McAuliffe asked me where I was at on a scale of 1 to 10. Scale of 1 to Messi, where I was at. And I told him...
Nice dancing.
One Dice Dancing. Where am I at? I'm at a 7. And the reason I'm at a 7 is because if you didn't see this coming, you are an idiot. And I think the biggest issue Leaf fans have today, I've read enough, I've heard enough, I've listened to the station all day. The one thing I'm really grasping in the fan base and to anyone who's watching this team, especially, I hate to phrase it this way, but a Dubas apologist, anyone in the media who has been that person, where are the excuses now? Well, they got to play Boston every year in the first round. Where is the excuse now? Babcock doesn't play his superstars as much as he should. Where is the excuse now? Babcock in game, doesn't make adjustments, Tim. He doesn't make adjustments. Same line over and over. Where is the excuse now? We need an $11 million center. They will outscore everybody, Tim. The Leafs bring in an $11 million. Where is the excuse now? Dubas doesn't have his own head coach, man. How do you expect Kyle to do his job when Babcock was chosen by some... There's no synergy. Dubas is young. Where is the excuse now? Sheldon Keefe did not have a training camp. Sheldon Keefe had zero opportunity to get this team to... Where is the excuse now? That, I feel, which plays very well into the track that you were singing to start this segment, that, I believe, is the dark sporting place that Leaf fans now find themselves. And I'm not saying the emperor doesn't have any clothes. We know some of the emperors. But maybe the suit's not as nice as you thought it was. And now what do you do? Now what the hell do you do? Your money is locked into a GIC that you can't take it out of. You are in long term. Now what the hell do you do? That wasn't Boston, kids. That wasn't Boston.
This ain't now Boston, what? Man.
Now what are you going to do? Some of us have been out here for years, McAuliffe, and I'm including you. And this will not work. You can't have... Possession is great. Possession is great. If you're on the wall the entire time and there's no one in front of the net, it does nothing. So now what do you do? That's kind of where I'm at. It's a bad place. It's worse than getting super angry. It's like acceptance. Like, that's what I'm seeing with the fan base a little bit here. They're angry. But part of them are like, and they had that comeback Friday. Who in their right mind thought they were going to actually get it done last night for that fan base? That's not how the Leafs roll. That's not what they do. So that's kind of
glad. I'm glad you brought up the Leaf fan, because this might be a tough talk from me to Leaf fans. And I get it sucks to be a Leaf fan. In fact, someone needs to check in with Steve Dangle. So maybe we'll do so at the end of the block. We'll check in with Steve Dangle around the end of the block. Because I get why it sucks. Here's the last 16 years. Missed the playoffs. 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 Lost first round. Missed the playoffs. Missed the playoffs. Missed the playoffs. Lost first round. Lost first round. Lost first round. Lost qualifying round. They didn't make the playoffs. This is a tough time for Leaf fans. I get it. And this is going to be a tough talk from me, because it's pretty simple for me. You're built on offense and just scored 10 times in 5 games while being shut out. Did I mention twice in a 5-game series? People can talk about puck luck. People can talk about their shooting percentage and how that may never happen again. But it has happened again. They shot 1.97% 5-on-5 in the series.
How much? Can you repeat that, please?
1.97% 5-on-5 in the series. They were 857 in the regular season. In fact, they were never lower than 4% in any five-game segment during the season. But when it mattered most, they went 197. And you can say the analytics crew is the one hanging on the most because they feel like Kyle Dubas represents something for them. And this isn't an indictment of analytics. This is an indictment of applications of analytics, Sid Sixero. And what we've figured out is if you don't sacrifice, you don't pound. Listen, Seth Jones and Zach Werenski were horses. They played 30 minutes and 26 minutes a game, respectively. If you wear them down, do you think they're as effective in the 25 to 30th minute of the game?
And just so we're clear, define wearing them down to Tim McAuliffe. What do you mean by that?
Beating them up, playing heavy hockey, just finishing your checks. You don't need fighters. You just need someone who will go in there and make them pay, as the Blue Jackets did to the Toronto Maple Leafs. You can blame Marty Marincin all you want. It's weak. It's shallow. It's low. It's like the Rangers of 94 saying we didn't get it done because Jay Wells wasn't good enough. Slow down for a second here.
It's a hell of a reference.
The Oilers of the 80s couldn't do it. That Don Jackson played way too much.
I never thought of
that. What about Messier, Gretzky, Curry, Coffey, all those guys? My point is this. It's a tough talk for Leaf fans because they make saviors out of people who aren't ready to be saviors yet. And the media is complicit. But as I always say, oftentimes the media is just giving people what they want to hear, especially in markets that love whatever sport that they love the most. And the savior role in Toronto leads to a very tough spot because they have to live up to those expectations and live up to them in a hurry. Do you see what I'm talking about in this savior, Sid? Like, how many different people have been named saviors along the way?
I remember when John Ferguson Jr. was a savior.
Okay. If you want to go back that far, you're right.
So I didn't know if you wanted to go that far. But like,
no, 2015. It's perfect. Yeah. Wendell Clark was a savior. Doug Gilmore was a savior. And they came close. 2015, they missed the playoffs. 2016, they missed the playoffs. Draft Matthews, futures bright. Austin Matthews, savior. First round exit. Tavares, savior. Babcock was a savior. Dubas was a savior. Hell, Jake Muzzin was turned into a savior in Toronto. Halfway through the year, some people turned Jack Campbell into a savior. And then when they fail, you want to play the name game. You want to play the blame game along with the name game. Either way, you start pointing at people to say who needs to pay. Do you know, Sid, the Columbus Blue Jackets had the same amount of points in the same amount of games as the Toronto Maple Leafs did?
I did know that. What would that tell you?
I don't get why everyone's surprised and irate. I agree they don't play tough enough.
I mean, I get it. I get why people who don't watch Columbus ever are surprised by Columbus. That's Toronto.
Right.
That's the Leaf town. It's not a hockey town. That's the Leaf town talking. But based on the math that you just exposed, Leafs were basically the same team as Columbus throughout the season, getting their points in a different way, mind you, but basically the same team.
The entire Blue Jackets forward group, all of them, all 17 forwards, make $40.5 million collectively. The Leafs' Big Four makes $40.45 million. Jackets forwards had 9 goals. The Leafs forwards had 8 goals.
That's astounding. We have Chris Johnston coming up after the break. Tim and I, we have another open block here before Phase 2 draft lottery at 6 from Secaucus, New Jersey, where the Leafs can all of a sudden go from being down and out to having Alexis Lafreniere. We'll find out. Tim mentioned a couple seconds ago, so can the Oilers, so can a lot of teams. Tim mentioned earlier, let's check in on Steve Dangle, the biggest Leaf fan on earth. I think we can call him that. I think Guinness needs to recognize Steve Dangle as the biggest Leaf fan on earth. It's going to be a quick in and out because he's a busy man, and we don't want to harp on it. He's getting ravaged enough, I would assume, on social media. Steve Dangle on the line. Are you okay? Talk to us. Are you good?
Shut up. I'm never good. I'm never good anymore, Cicero. I'm never good anymore, Chimichel. We're having a miserable time. Miserable time. I hear you laughing. I can't see it because I'm on the phone, but...
I'm not laughing.
No, like, this isn't a good time. This isn't a good time. I don't feel good about myself as a Leaf fan. I don't feel good about my team. I don't even feel good about myself. I get to look at my TV and see Sid Sixero. When did you get skinny?
Don't put this on me. I'm not Seth Jones. I caused you no trouble in the last 24 hours. None.
The godfather of chicken fingers. Is now a fitness model, and I'm sitting here. My team can't get out of the qualifying round. They get shut out in an elimination game. I'm not having a good time, boys. I'm not having a good time.
Is there a fix for Steve Dangle? I feel for you. I told you earlier today. I sent you a text and I said I wanted to hug you. And how can we help? How can we help Leaf fans?
Oh, my God. Just, you know what? We're junkies for hope. And, you know, like, how hard are you going to laugh when they get Lafreniere tonight? How hard are you going to laugh?
Tim and everyone on Tim and Sid, because we're going to be on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet. I will be laughing for 10 straight minutes. Tim will have to speak English, because I will giggle till the break. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, and I'll just be right back on the bandwagon. You know what? Like, I'm not screaming. Why?
Are you gonna do another video after the draft lottery?
Of course he has to. Hold on. He has.
And it's,
do you not know
and
what
it's...
I do?
And but
Don't
what if they lose?
Prep sheet?
What if they don't win the draft lottery?
I didn't license to drink, I guess, except I got a seven-week-old at home, so I can't even do that, Tim.
How is your baby, Aki? Your baby's name is Aki, right?
Actually, I named my kid after Jeff Farkas. Anyone remember Jeff Farkas?
I remember Jeff Farkas. Hey, Dangle. So when is Tim and I? I'm going to make this about us. When are we going to get the Steve Dangle podcast invite with Jesse and Adam? So, because that hasn't come in a long time. So we're going to get the invite or what?
I don't know. I got to run it by them. I don't know.
You have told me publicly and privately you own those guys and you make every decision for the group and they are nothing without you. That's basically what you told me.
You guys are breaking up. I don't know. We might have to reconnect.
All right, Dangle.
You guys can come on whenever you want. As long as you got screens big enough for those heads, we'll have you on. We'll five screen it.
For me, that is literal. First round pick to Carolina. Have fun today.
That is literal and figurative. Yeah. All right. So enjoy tonight if there's any chance in that. Like, here are the two options for Leaf fans. Either you get the first overall pick and the rest of the hockey world hates you, or you've just given your first round pick to the Carolina Hurricanes, who I don't know if you remember beat you with their emergency goalie and who works for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But whatever.
Yeah. Oh,
enjoy
heaven,
the night.
Tim, what would it be like to live in a world where everyone hates the Toronto Maple Leafs? Everyone can go screw if they get laughed. That's what you get for calling them the laughs all these years. They're going to steal your kids.
On that lovely note, ordained new father, Steve Dangle, here on Tim and Sid.
Dangle, dad!
Dangle, if they, I'm not kidding. If they win the lottery in like 40 minutes, you got to call us back. Deal?
Oh, I didn't know you were allowed to be just butt naked on the radio and television, but I guess you can be, sure.
We'll work it out. We'll work it out.
You should see Sid's lower half right now. All right, Steve Dangle, be well, and you'll get the hug a little later on.
Yeah, whatever.
There is Steve Dangle representing Leafs Nation. We're going to take the break. We're going to come back with Chris Johnson. What the hell will actually happen in both Edmonton and Toronto? And is Edmonton's situation as dire as Toronto? Are they as pissed off? Is there as much work for Ken Holland as there will be for Kyle Dubas? The only way perhaps he is taken off the hook is if they win that lottery tonight. We will discuss it with Chris Johnston next on Tim and Sid. And oh, by the way, we're going to play Hot Takes, Agree or Disagree with them in the third block.
Nice.
On Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Television Network. This is Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet Television Network. We'll take you to the top of the clock on the Sportsnet mains, where the NHL draft lottery will take over the Pens, Oilers, and Leafs. All had jokes made about them when this draft lottery was set up, that they would grab the first overall pick and the rest of the hockey world would be pissed. Right now, the Pens, Oilers, and Leafs have a combined 37.5% shot at grabbing that first overall pick.
So you're telling me there's a chance, McAuliffe. You're
yes,
telling me there's a chance.
Mathematically, I'm telling you there's a chance.
I'm having a hard time getting excited about this because of how ridiculous it is. Am I alone, McAuliffe? Am I alone? Like, this is
no.
Very important. This is very important. This kid is that good. But I find this completely asinine. This entire undertaking. Completely ridiculous.
I think there's a bunch of people that agree with you. And I think there's a bunch of people who live in Edmonton, Toronto, Pittsburgh, and Winnipeg who are telling you right now to shut the hell up.
And fans in only one city will be telling me to shut the hell up in about
after
45
tonight.
Minutes' time.
Correct. That is correct.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, he was one of the few inside Scotiabank Arena last night to take in a weird game and a weird series. CJ, how you doing, man?
I'm not too bad yet. It's very weird to be in there. I mean, certainly kind of cool, I guess, but it's all very hollow. It's a reminder, I guess, of what you're missing in your life day to day when you're in an arena where there's a playoff game being played, but nothing else that comes with a playoff game.
But before we break down the Leafs, you know what hit me the hardest, Sid, was watching the fist bumps. Now, the Leafs and the Jackets didn't do it, but instead of watching one of the most time-honored traditions of my sporting life, the handshake line, where guys used to show their respect to each other after going to war, the quick fist bumps made me, like, that was real life coming crashing down on me, because you know that's not what it's supposed to be.
Exactly. And then honestly, for me, it's just being there and seeing my colleagues, but we're spaced out like crazy and everyone's wearing a mask and you can't really talk. And then, you know, you witness a game like we saw on Friday night where the Leafs pump all those goals in the last 2 minutes and it's as quiet as can be. You can hear them celebrating on the bench. I mean, again, it's cool, but it's very surreal. It feels like you're in like a dystopian future with the whole sound stage they set up in there. And I do think it looks neat on TV, but being in the arena is just, it's a little bit strange.
There was a lot strange about how that series ended. The one thing, CJ, I can't quite wrap my head around is the immediate talk of there could be major changes. As I read this cap, I don't know how they can swing it. Now, I know there's not a lot of actual cap.
I think we may have lost Sid for a second. There.
Oh, you got me back?
We got you back, yeah.
So my apologies. I don't see the major changes happening, CJ, just based on the size of these cap hits. What am I missing?
Well, I think it's because, you know, we're reaching a point. And look, I was one of the people. I wrote that in my post-game column last night that, you know, I really think that they have to look at those changes now because I don't see any other way forward. And, you know, I'm not reacting just to a five-game loss to Columbus in August.
No.
You know, I think if you look back at this entire season, you know, this was a team that didn't meet its own expectations, let alone any that you or I or Tim or, you know, the millions of people out there that support the franchise have for them. You know, they didn't meet their own expectations by any measure. And, you know, when you're spending as much money as they are on a small group of players, and then when you add on to that COVID-19 is now basically put a drag on the NHL salary cap for the next 4, 5, 6 seasons, depending on how long it takes business to get back to something resembling normal. You know, I think the Leafs are in an even tougher spot with those players if it turns out that you know, building a team around that kind of high-powered offense can't even get you through a team like the Blue Jackets, which, with due respect to them, they play great, and I'm not one of those that doesn't watch Blue Jackets games. In fact, it's just they scored 57 fewer goals than the Leafs in a 70-game regular season. You know, you would expect Toronto to be able to overmatch them, I guess, throughout a playoff series. And I don't think you just saw enough of that in that series. And so, at minimum, I don't know how you don't walk away from it and say, okay, what can we change? What should we change? And don't at least arrive at the fact that I think they have to explore, you know, what kind of trade markets might be out there. And I'm not suggesting it has to be one of the young, you know, $10 million stars that's going. But I do think that there has to be a look at meaningful change and shifting some money around, really, is what we're getting at. Because to better balance out the team, there has to be some money moved out if you're going to bring anyone else in. And you know, I do think that this is they've reached a point where if they don't make that decision this summer, that's an important decision in itself. If you follow my line of thinking, if they stick with what they have, that's a real statement. And if it doesn't work next year, and they don't perform closer to expectations, then I think you're getting into real dangerous territory with the team building.
Chris Johnson joining us here on Timmins. So what are the two differences between if that 12% or the 12.5% hits today and they end up with the number one overall pick, or they give the pick up to Carolina? Like, what are the two differences moving forward that Leaf fans can expect to see, at least in your mind?
Well, certainly the conversation we're just having, it takes on even more immediacy if they're adding another elite-level offensive player, which is what they would be doing by getting the number one overall pick. I mean, you know, that does a couple things. It actually doesn't mean you have to trade anything away because, you know, the beauty of as the Leafs saw in the early years with Marner, Matthews, and Nylander is that, you know, when you add a player like that, you have 3 years where they're not making a salary that's equivalent to what they're producing as long as they turn out to be as good as you think they are. And so, you know, from a cap perspective, just because they get the number one overall pick doesn't mean they have to trade someone away. But I do think it makes that decision a little bit more intriguing and a little bit more layered in terms of how you want to spread things through your lineup. You know, let's face it, they have, 77% odds there and about of not, or 87% odds. It's been a long week of not getting the number one overall pick. So I think we should probably assume that that's what's going to happen. Sorry, Steve Dangle. And, you know, I think that where they're at then is probably, you know, what they've been planning for. I mean, obviously next year's lineup has some version of Rasmus Sandin, Timothy Liljegren, Nick Robertson, and Alex Barabanov, plus Mikko Lehtinen, are the two players they signed from Europe this offseason or this during the pandemic time. And so, you know, they are going to introduce a number of young players. I don't think, again, other than the scenario where they end up with the number one overall pick, you know, they're not looking at anyone they're drafting this year to be ready right away or anything like that. And so, you know, I just think it's a bonus, honestly. It's a massive, huge, you could argue, undeserved bonus if they get the number one overall pick. But if they don't, I don't think it's a disaster either. But it puts them in an interesting spot. I mean, they have to decide, I think, fundamentally, you know, once they really have a chance to look at that playoff series and maybe a bit more debrief on how their season ended, where it ended, and went the way it went, you know, where they're going with this group. And those aren't easy decisions to make, especially because I think this is going to be a crazy offseason in general for the NHL. There's a number of teams that have even more significant cap issues than the Leafs have. And I think we'll see more player movement as a result. And so, you know, it might not be the time to make a good trade, to be honest. I mean, there's two ways that could go. You know, on one hand, I don't think there'll be a lot of teams anxious to take on money. On the other, we might see multiple big money players moved around. And so maybe there's opportunity in that for Toronto. But, you know, tonight is all bonus for them. They didn't tank a season to try to get the number one overall pick. You know, they didn't have to suffer through the losses Ottawa or Detroit or those teams that already lost the first lottery that was held did. And so if they get this, I mean, it's just another crazy happening in 2020.
CJ here on Tim and Sid, Chris Johnson. Chris, quickly, in terms of the Canadian teams that are out, time is not our friend here. Who should be the most optimistic and who should be the most disappointed between the Jets, Oilers, and the Leafs after that qualifying round?
Cool. Hard to find optimism in Canada the way we scrutinize these teams. You know what I mean? I don't see optimism anywhere, honestly. I think that there's difficult questions for all of them. You know, the Jets had a really tough year defensively and were bailed out in a lot of ways by Connor Hellebuck. And, you know, they're not that far removed from being a team we all thought was going to get to a Stanley Cup final. I think that they have some fundamental questions. You know, the Oilers, they're in transition. I mean, they're a year into Ken Holland being the GM there. And you know, obviously he started to put some changes in. He made some trades at the deadline and that type of thing. But, you know, I think this is his first real off season to put an imprint on there. And I would expect they'll be very active and, you know, potentially even shopping one of their D's to make improvements up front. I don't think that they're going to stand pat by any stretch. And as I said with Toronto, I feel like it's they're, if they're not right at the crossroads, they can see it in the not too distant future. And so, I mean, look, there's always optimism. Some of the best players in the entire NHL play on each of these teams. It's not that they're not lost totally in the desert, but they're also at that point where they're trying to go from good to great, and that can be a difficult step to take. And I think it's going to be a difficult offseason in those three cities, in Tampa, and many others where there's cap issues and just trying to build a competitive roster for next year has some serious impediments.
CJ, always great catching up with you. We'll do it again soon, but we got to get going here. Okay, thanks.
Enjoy the lotto balls.
Yes, we are less than 20 minutes away from the NHL draft lottery right here on Sportsnet. You can see it whether you're sticking with us on Sportsnet or Sportsnet 360. We got you covered. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, we also got you covered. If you're on 360 or 590 The Fan, we will have live reaction from Tim and Sid as we take you right up to 6:30 and the start of the Toronto Raptors and Milwaukee Bucks. Got it, Gooden, since you understood. The Lafreniere sweepstakes coming up in mere moments and more reaction to the Oilers, Jets, and Leafs bowing out right here on Tim and Sid. On Friday here on Tim and Sid, we introduced a new segment called Hot Takes. Hot ideas getting a little run on social media. I read the tweets. I don't tell you who the tweets are from, so that does not distract you from the content of the tweet. Instead, you simply react to the comment. Legit or just farming for likes or trying to stir the pot or creating arguments where there aren't any. Did you hear my dog bark in the middle of that?
Snoop. Snoop-a-loop. Bring your green hat.
That's Snoop Dogg making his appearance on Tim and Sid. After every Canadian team has been bounced, we asked that fan base to air their grievances. The Leafs got over 1,500 comments at last check. I am mixing the airing of the grievances and the hot takes together, and I give you, Sid, hot grievances.
That sounds sexy. It's like an old school city TV movie at 1:30.
The Hot Blue Movie. Grievances. Hot Grievances, starring Shin and Tweed.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hot grievance number one. The Leafs are officially the laughing stock of the league. How many players and front office people must be laughing at Dubas's contract and ideas right now? Hashtag fire Dubas.
I would agree with that, Tech. The same GMs and executives that were furious Austin Matthews got that kind of term. The same GMs and executives that were furious at Marner's contract. This is all coming full circle here. Let's not get it twisted. The Leafs are the least popular team in the National Hockey League among people who work in the National Hockey League for these contracts. I agree with that take 100%.
I mean, I guess McDavid's the best player in the world, and Marner's not the best player in the world. But didn't he set the market for Auston Matthews?
Yeah, maybe not that kind of term. I think the term is what a lot of GMs had an issue with, because that guy's going to hit free agency with that money, what, at 28, 27, whatever it is? So I would just say, in general, in terms of how the Leafs have gone about their business, to screw the rest of the market, here's what we're doing. There's some people laughing today. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Is Dubas in trouble?
The runway just got shorter. He's been flying that plane for a couple years now, but the runway's shorter, and the air traffic control tower may have a few more suggestions for him. I don't think he's in complete control of that plane after this.
Hot grievance number two, similar. This team has too many identical players. Speedy, small, not great defensively. Kapanen, Kerfoot, Marner, Janssen, Nylander offer nothing more than varying offensive ability. D is a mess. They could use a couple of more Zach Hymans. Size does not mean fighters. They need more workers.
They need guys in front of the net. I would agree with that. And the blue line's been an issue for years. Who in the Toronto media said blue line looks pretty good? Nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
If you watch hockey for 5 seconds, you know that. With that said, Timmy, Morgan Rielly's not getting talked enough about for the work he put in this series when he was on an island out there sometimes. I think he's phenomenal. If whatever the Leafs do, if you're a Leaf fan, you better hope Morgan Rielly sticks around, because I think that guy's a leader, and his give a bleep meter is a lot higher than most guys on this team, in my opinion.
Hot grievance number three. Don't go crazy. We hit two posts. We had 33 shots with opportunities to score, some bad puck luck, and a bleepy second goal. Difference was goaltending. Missing Muzzin hurt. That's it. Take a breath.
So you're telling me it's bad luck when in games 4 and 5 of a series you showed up for 4 minutes? That's bad luck? That's how you define bad luck, scoring three goals in 4 minutes.
What he's saying is that they showed up for game number 5, just couldn't score.
So that's the bar showing up. I know what you're saying to me, but that's the bar. There was no urgency from that team to start the game. Urgency from a line. One line had urgency because it was worth $40 million against the cap. Right. Better have urgency. Who else had urgency? I don't know.
I think urgency. Anyways, I'm going to get one more in here. Mike Babcock was right. He wasn't playing around when he indirectly said the Leafs are soft with a bunch of overplayed players, then got fired a few weeks later. Laughing my rear end off, Mike Babcock right now, picture of Michael Jackson eating popcorn from the Thriller video.
thank you for all of the descriptions in that tweet, Tim. I appreciate it. Don't think Mike Babcock isn't somewhere. I believe he's helping out the University of Vermont's hockey team. Last time
I checked. Catamounts.
The Catamounts. What this season amounted to is something that the current Catamounts assistant coach or advisor
Special assistant.
Has seen more than a couple times in his career. Tim, you're right. He said he was really critical of that hockey team, the way it was built before he got ousted in Scottsdale. And I don't think we made enough of there a connection between the two, because that was the end of many grievances aired by Mike Babcock about roster construction. We've talked on this show a lot about roster construction. If another coach has given you the same type of results with technically a different type of strategy, I mean, I think maybe Babcock was right. I didn't disagree with him in the moment. So yeah, I think he's laughing somewhere.
And finally, I give the closer and credit to Matthew. Look at it this way. We didn't have to wait 7 games to be disappointed. Hashtag give Leafs.
Give him something. That's good. That's good.
The NHL Draft Lottery is coming up on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. If you're watching on Sportsnet, we will have the NHL Network's coverage for you in its entirety. If you flip over to 360 or are there, we will come out of that coverage and give you immediate reaction to whoever wins that NHL draft lottery. And we'll do it all next, right here on Tim and Sid, across the Sportsnet Radio Network and television stations.
Time for Tim and Sid.
It's time for real sports talk with Tim McCallum and Sid Sexero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdogs. The basement banter continues on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Here's what's going on. Raptors v. Bucks. Pre-game, television side of things, 6 p.m. Eastern. Right now, Sportsnet 1. The game is across the network at 7 p.m. And Sid Sexero has raised his hand on our Zoom call as if to say he's got something.
I'm seeing reports out of Orlando of a leak in the roof ahead of the Bucks and Raptors. So, okay. The bubble has slightly burst. I don't know what that's going to mean for the opening tip. Not my line, but I used it. Forgive me. So we'll keep you updated on that over the next 20 minutes or so.
All right. So there's a leak in the roof.
I'm telling you what I'm seeing here. All the refs have congregated. The refs are in leak in the roof formation. They're all huddled looking up. Like, that's okay. Leak in the roof formation. So right.
We'll see if the game gets underway at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Either way, we have got a NHL draft lottery coming up. We can guarantee this, I think. 6:09 Eastern is when we will hand it over to the NHL Network. For the first hour of the show, we've had a couple of different people on. Steve Dangle, Chris Johnston, getting their shots in at both what the Leafs and Oilers will do moving forward. You said that the runway was shorter for Kyle Dubas. They haven't won a series since 2004. Is this draft lottery an easy way out, and that 12.5% for the Oilers, the Leafs, and anyone else who's in this draft lottery?
I think even if the Leafs win this in 10 minutes or so, I still don't know if it absolves the feeling that we're seeing right now amongst the fan base. And who knows, Tim? Maybe some people above them in Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. Who knows what they're thinking above them, right? How long are you going to watch the Raptors just win like that and see the Leafs do this and not act? I don't know what they're thinking. But it's quite a stark contrast. I don't think it absolves the disappointment for the Leafs. It's a hell of a little consolation prize. And quite frankly, the same for the Oilers, right? Sorry, go ahead.
But I think it helps them trade William Nylander and pick up a defenseman on an entry level deal in return. Like, I think it helps them deal any one of the big four. I don't think Matthews is going anywhere. I really don't think Marner is going anywhere, but I know that there are people out there who may think that Marner should or will go somewhere. I do think it'll have a lot to do with what they can get in return. And I also think the same is true with the Edmonton Oilers. Listen, like, there was no shock what happened to the Edmonton Oilers. They got output from their Hart Trophy winners and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and nobody else. And what you thought was the weakness of this team was shown to be true, that they didn't have the depth to hang when it mattered most. And their goaltending just wasn't good enough. If they got great goaltending, they might have made it a couple rounds on the strength of that offense and where they are. But there was a couple of they are who we thought they were in Edmonton and Toronto, and Winnipeg just hit a bunch of bad luck. But I think if you win this draft lottery tonight, it makes whatever you're doing next a hell of a lot easier.
Oh, yeah, listen, the Oilers had to give up 2 seconds for Andreas Athanasiou, who had 0 points in 4 games, right?
Yeah.
Mike Green, you gave a Brodziak and a fourth for Mike Green, and Mike Green respectfully opted out. I'm not going to rip on Mike Green, but Mike Green wasn't there either. So this is, let's say it's a cost-effective way, Tim, to maybe get that secondary or tertiary scoring that you need from a kid in Alexis Lafreniere, who, Tim, at the time of the end of the season, due to the pandemic, through 52 games, never mind the gold medal he won at the World Juniors and player of the tournament, Alexi Lafreniere, 52 games for Rimouski, 112 points. This kid is it. And you aren't going to have to give up any second rounders to get him. You're not going to have to give up anything like that to get him. Mm-hmm. So definitely, you're right. You're bang on. This makes Dubas's job in the next few months before December or whenever they start the season easier, Kenny Holland easier, and those guys need help because they did some things that were major league whiffs, man, between Tyson Berry and Athanasiou and certain guys. You can really use, any team can use them, but especially if you're a GM in those cities, you can definitely use an Alexi Lafreniere. And also, you know, let's get Kevin Cheveldayoff off in Winnipeg. Of course you can use him. Of course you can use him.
Everyone can use the first overall pick, but I think that for the Oilers and the Leafs more specific, I mean, it's not that Kevin Cheveldayoff is out of any sort of salary cap hell, but the Dustin Byfuglien contract coming off the books makes it a little easier for them. But let's not forget what adding a player who is under an entry-level contract does for a team. And if he can jump right into the mix, like a lot of the experts believe he can do, then that saves you a hell of a lot of money, and you could do something like trade a big-ticket guy and get back another entry-level deal and still be okay.
And, Tim, another thing with the Leafs cap, along the lines that you just went down, their long-term injury relief in Nathan Horton and David Clarkson, that's coming up, man.
Yeah.
Like, those contracts are ending. I haven't heard that mentioned by anybody, but that's 10 mil clean against the cap that the Leafs were playing, were using very, very wisely. So, you know, adding one of the best young offensive players we've seen in years for nothing, yeah, that can help your salary cap a great deal, especially if you're the Leafs. And especially if that cap's going to stay at 81.5 million for 2, 3, 4 years, who knows how long. So, there's a lot of interest here from the Leafs specifically.
What team winning pisses off more NHL fans? Let's put it on the poll. Who are you most pissed off with if they win the lottery tonight? And you and I talked when they set out the format for this draft lottery. Oh my God, what if Pittsburgh, Edmonton, or Toronto won it? And lo and behold, Pittsburgh, Edmonton, and Toronto have a combined 37.5% chance of winning this thing.
Look, between Taylor Hall, between Connor McDavid, like I don't see, there's not a team, if I'm a fan in another city, check that. I think the Leafs are so hated. The Leafs are so hated, Tim. I would put the Leafs slightly ahead of the Oilers for the amount of hate that will come down if they get this pick. A cap team, for everything we just talked about, a cap team who needs an injection of youth for no cost. Boom. That's exactly what the Leafs need right now. And I think on the hate meter, the Leafs are one. The Oilers are two. Are the Pens even? You know what? I'm going to put the Panthers at three just because he'll be lost there. It's a bad organization, Tim. Let's be honest. I want to watch Alexi Lafreniere play hockey more than about 5 times a year. And I feel like if he goes to the Panthers, that's all I'm going to get.
Said they changed the rules because of the Edmonton Oilers. Like, they're not going to allow that many first overall picks, and they might end up with another first overall pick because of the way this was set up. Taylor Hall in 2010, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in 2011, Nail Yakupov in 2012, and of course Connor McDavid in 2015. If they got Alexi Lafreniere tonight, everyone outside of Edmonton would be absolutely irate. That's what I put at the top of the list. Leafs are a close second.
All right, well, Timmy, here's the deal. We're about to find out. Again, 8 teams are about to figure out who's going to get the kid from Rimouski, Alexi Lafreniere, who everyone's talking about. Tim and I will talk to you on the other side. We'll have live reaction. But for the time being, let's go live to Secaucus, New Jersey, NHL Network. Jamie Hirsch picks up the coverage from here. Good luck to your respective teams, kids.
Represented by these 8 men are just moments away from finding out which one of them will get the rights to the #1 overall pick, which could be potential franchise winger Alexi Lafreniere. And we are thrilled to be joined now by NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Gary, it is such an exciting time for hockey right now under these unusual circumstances. The 8 clubs in the running tonight all just completed what were essentially playoff series. So is that in the spirit of the draft order traditionally favoring clubs lowest in the standings?
Well, actually, the 8 clubs that are participating tonight didn't succeed in the qualifying round for the playoffs, which under a normal year would have been the equivalent of not making the playoffs. They would have been eligible for the lottery. Our competitive balance is so extraordinary. The differences between and among our clubs isn't all that great. So under these unusual circumstances, this made the most sense and was fair, despite who you root for and what result ultimately obtains.
Now, I know logistics and timing were the key factors in holding phase two of the lottery this evening, but I don't think we could have envisioned a more appropriate off-day event in transition from the thrilling qualifiers to the always electrifying first round. Do you agree?
Well, we had a thrilling qualifying round, and yes, this is a day off, but we didn't create this to have it as an event. This is really us taking care of business under unusual circumstances.
Yeah, you mentioned those unusual circumstances, and so really it is amazing to see how smoothly things have gone so far in the two hub cities in the midst of a global pandemic. And it's a huge credit to the job the NHL has done to prioritize health and safety. So thank you for that. But also, just how seriously do you think the players and the clubs have taken this return to play?
The clubs and the players in particular have been extraordinary, both in terms of what they needed to do with regard to social distancing and the other health and safety measures under our protocols, but also their willingness to be in a bubble for a couple of months away from their families and friends. I know I speak on behalf of all hockey fans and everybody associated with the NHL in saying how grateful we are for the sacrifices that they're making being away for home for so long. I also want to thank and congratulate Steve Mayer and the events group for what they did in setting up these bubbles that are getting rave reviews and the way the games are being telecast by our partners, NBC and Rogers. And I also want to thank Coley Campbell and Hockey Operations because it's all been running so smoothly.
Yeah, a true team effort to deliver the magic of playoff hockey to the masses. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Potential number one pick in the upcoming National Hockey League draft has to be helped off the ice.
Return to the lineup for Alexi Lafreniere. Fourth goal of the tournament.
With all the scrutiny and attention on a projected first overall, for him to do what he did, all the more spectacular.
Alexi Lafreniere is the prize, and now is the time. The case, which holds the eight lottery balls that could decide his fate, is now being unsealed. It's a case that can hold 31 team balls, but tonight there will only be eight inside. Take a look. There they are, resting inside the case in geographical alphabetical order. Now, one by one, they will be loaded into the machine. The commissioner will verify that each ball correctly represents the logo of the appropriate team. And we begin with the Edmonton Oilers. The Oilers are no strangers to the first overall pick. Edmonton held that honor four times in a six-year stretch from 2010 to 2015, including three straight times. Most notably, they picked up Taylor Hall, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Connor McDavid. Mr. Commissioner, can you confirm this is the logo of the Edmonton Oilers?
That is the Edmonton Oilers logo, confirmed.
Now the Florida Panthers. The Panthers have owned the top selection in the NHL draft on two different occasions. Most recently, they grabbed Aaron Ekblad with the number one pick in 2014, and 20 years prior, they took another blue liner first, Ed Jovanovsky. Mr. Commissioner, can you confirm this is the logo of the Florida Panthers?
Florida Panthers logo it is.
The Minnesota Wild. Minnesota has never picked higher than third in the NHL draft. The Wild did so back in 2000 prior to their first season when they selected Slovakian winger Marian Gabrick. Gabrick remains the team's all-time leader in goals. Mr. Commissioner, can you confirm this is the logo of the Minnesota Wild?
That is the Minnesota Wild logo, correct.
The Nashville Predators. The Predators have never owned the first overall pick, dating back to 1998 when the club began play in the NHL. Their highest ever pick was second overall in that first season when they grabbed center David Legwand. Mr. Commissioner, can you confirm this is the logo of the Nashville Predators?
Nashville Predators, confirmed.
The New York Rangers. The Rangers owned the first overall pick in the draft only once back in 1965 when the league was in the original six era. Of course, just last year, New York picked second overall and grabbed Finnish forward Kaapo Kakko. Mr. Commissioner, can you confirm this is the logo of the New York Rangers?
That is the New York Rangers logo, correct.
The Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins have held the first overall pick on three different occasions, and they were all momentous choices. Hall of Famer Mario Lemieux in 1984, three-time Cup winner Marc-Andre Fleury in 2003, and Captain Sidney Crosby in 2005. Mr. Commissioner, can you confirm this is the logo of the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Correct. Pittsburgh Penguins.
The Toronto Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs hit the jackpot back in 2016, winning the lottery and selecting center Austin Matthews with the number one pick. The only other time Toronto owned the top pick was in 1985, when they chose Wendell Clark. Mr. Commissioner, can you confirm this is the logo of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Toronto Maple Leafs logo confirmed.
And finally, the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets franchise has owned the number one overall pick on two different occasions when they played in Atlanta. Those picks came within a three-year window, with the team landing Patrick Steffen in 1999 and Ilya Kovalchuk in 2001. Mr. Commissioner, can you confirm this is the logo of the Winnipeg Jets?
That is the Winnipeg Jets logo. Confirmed.
And there they are, eight teams, and in mere moments, we will find out which one wins the 2020 NHL Draft Lottery. Mr. Markert, you may proceed. In 2019, the Devils selected Jack Hughes with the number one pick. Who will it be this time around? All eyes are on Alexis Lafreniere, the power forward who scored 48 goals in the QMJHL before even turning 17 years old. Lafreniere took the World Junior Championship by storm this past winter, earning MVP honors as he helped lead Canada to a gold medal. This year, he led all CHL skaters in points per game. His 2.15 average was the highest in the Q since Jonathan Drouin in 2013-14. If Lafreniere is chosen first, he would be the first Quebecois player to go number one overall since Pittsburgh chose Marc-Andre Fleury with the top pick back in 2003. It is now time to see who the winning team is.
The first selection in the 2020 NHL draft belongs to the New York Rangers.
Wow, there it is. The New York Rangers have won the 2020 NHL Draft Lottery. So take a look at the big board. The question has been answered. The number one overall pick in this year's draft belongs to the New York Rangers. The Rangers' rebuilding efforts have really sped up due to some great trades and the addition of Artemi Panarin, but they've also used the draft to mine a lot of talent. New York has had six first-round picks in the past 3 years. And we are happy to have Rangers GM Jeff Gorton joining us now. Congratulations, Jeff, on winning the 2020 NHL Draft Lottery. I know it was tough to see your team lose in the qualifying round to Carolina, but does this help soften the blow a bit as you look ahead to the future?
Yeah, no question about that. It's, anytime you can pick first, especially this year, it's a special year. We all know that. It's tough up in the bubble. Those three games, Carolina gave it to us pretty good, but surely exciting to have this happen to us tonight.
Alexis Lafreniere is the presumptive first overall pick. What has stood out to you most about his ability to potentially improve your team greatly?
I think along with the skill is his competitiveness. I think if you go back to the World Junior, if you follow him in Rimouski, right away you can see that he has the kind of talent that we're all looking for, but he also drags everybody in the battle with him. And we're all looking for a player like that.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for the time and congratulations on winning the number one pick in this year's draft.
Thanks a lot.
So there is Sidney Sixero, the New York Rangers, who, let's be honest, you're already shaking your head, had pushed fast forward on their rebuild and will get another fast forward on that rebuild with Alexis Lafreniere, the first of two picks that they have in this year's first round.
Don't get me wrong, Tim. You and I remember the days when the Rangers were winning Stanley Cups, some of the most prosperous in NHL history for the league. When that market's going, it's important. And Alexis Lafreniere could be one of those players that is that important First overall pick for the Rangers since 1965. So I'm not displeased for the organization, but I feel like I just watched the final Game of Thrones episode. There were so many possibilities, so many ways this could have gone. And what happened was kind of deflating to me as an observer and slightly sarcastic sports fan. So many ways this could have gone, McAuliffe. But, hey, listen, did the Leafs deserve the pick? No. Oilers deserve the pick? No. Pens deserve the pick? Like, it could have been a disaster from the league standpoint. It's not like the Rangers deserve the pick either. But,
no, they didn't.
They didn't deserve the pick. But it could have been worse, I think, from a PR standpoint if you're the National Hockey League. May we not see a lot of things like we've seen in 2020 again, but may we never see an idea this flawed in the National Hockey League ever in our lifetimes again. This made no sense. This had no real meaning behind it. It was misplaced. It was misguided from the front, and I hope to never see it again.
Why are you so upset about it? Because for me, it's just you couldn't figure out how to do the draft lottery properly, and they came up with an idea that weighted it towards the top of the draft lottery, and the ping pong balls didn't fall. The only way you do that is to not give any sort of consolation to those that were afforded a spot in the tournament. That's the only way that you take this possibility out, because what happened was just ping pong balls. It's the Brian Burke theory. What happened with Pittsburgh? They won a damn lottery. What just happened with the Rangers? They won a damn lottery.
But when Pittsburgh won the damn lottery, they didn't have the chance. I mean, well, that year was messed up. But 99 times out of 100, you don't have a chance to win the damn lottery. I had to backtrack on that. You don't have a chance to win the damn lottery when you also have a chance to win the Stanley Cup. And that's what eight of these teams technically had. I have a fundamental issue with that line of thought. I'm not a GM. I'm not on the board of governors. They thought it was great. Congratulations to them. Rangers feel great about it. You should not have a shot at first overall in the cup in the same week.
So there should have been eight teams. There should have been eight teams in the lottery in Sid Sixero's mind.
I believe that night a couple of weeks ago, the Friday night, we should have known the identity of the team that night because they have a bad year. And that's kind of the point of the lottery, isn't it? It's to reward a team that has had a bad year with some hope, with some young guns. And the Sens are going to be okay. The Sens didn't win that lottery, but they'll be fine. But to me, that's what a draft is about, to help bad, bad teams. And I don't think that happened in this format.
Mark writes in, and I don't know if he's an Oilers fan, a Leafs fan, if he's a Jets fan. It could apply to all. Absolutely brutal year, showing no signs of changing. Chris writes in and says, of course, T.O.'s ball's not big enough. I don't know if the size of the ball affected the lottery. And I will say this, good on the NHL to put the ping pong balls into the machine on camera, let them roll, because I guarantee you, because of what the New York Rangers mean to this league, if it had been done behind closed doors, people would have been upset and screamed that this was the NHL's frozen envelope.
No behind closed doors shenanigans. They are. They're going to be good. No, but you're right. No closed door shenanigans, no frozen envelopes, none of that crap. It was on the level, so it appeared. And that is the only positive I take away from this. And I hope going forward, well, I shouldn't say that because the drama involved in the unveiling is, I'm a sucker for that every year, McAuliffe. I don't know if you are. I'm a sucker for the unveiling of the logos. So I don't mind that, but for something this important, I did enjoy that. That was the only thing I enjoyed out of it.
So, I mean, do you throw him on the first line with Panarin and Zibanejad, who have been unbelievable? Buznevich is turning into a player. We'll see what Kapokako turns into. Yeah. And whenever Henrik Lundqvist decides that he will be done, there'll be another $8.5 million on the cap. They've got good young goaltending. This is. The New York Rangers just pushed fast forward again. And the Leafs, Oilers, and Jets fans all hoping for some sort of consolation prize just don't get it.
Timmy, great job. It's a busy show. Pleasure. Oh, by the way, we need to make time tomorrow for you, like the Leafs, diving off a cliff on your weekend off up north over the week that you put on Instagram stories. We're going to make time for this tomorrow. I was very impressed.
I don't know if Braves. I dove off of it. But
whatever.
You
did
jumped.
More than I would I do. McCallum leapt into a lake, and I would never in a million years do it. We got to hit on this tomorrow. Also tomorrow, the Jays' first game in Buffalo down at Salem Field. We're going to have a lot on that tomorrow. And yep. Also the Raptors and Bucks coming up here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on TV on Sportsnet 1 and all across the Sportsnet mains. That's it for us. For Tim McCallum, I'm Sid Sixero. This is Tim and Sid. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.